Hello, I'm Owen Wainhouse and you're listening to Architecture Masters, the podcast from the London Festival of Architecture. The LFA is the world's largest annual architecture festival, running each year from the 1st to the 30th of June, with a programme this year of more than 450 public events run by over 260 organisations and individuals, engaging in one way or another with an audience of over 400,000 people. This year our theme is identity. At its most basic level, the identity of any world city like London is instantly recognisable by the silhouette of its architecture. From Sydney's Opera House to New York's Empire State Building, we recognise and identify our cities by their buildings. Of course, identity and architecture are much more closely entwined than just the look of our cities. The identity and cultural background of any architect has a profound influence on the architecture they create. London has always been an open and international city. Nearly a third of architects working here are from overseas, including from the former colonies of the British Empire, or more recently from the European Union. Architects have brought their different backgrounds, identities, and ways of thinking to vastly improve the dynamism and creativity of London's architecture sector. And so too, London-based architects have travelled the world, creating some of the world's most iconic buildings in their wake. The looming effects of Brexit stand to change the identity of our architecture sector in many ways. To coincide with our festival this year, we wanted to explore ideas of architecture and identity more broadly, to try and get a bit of perspective. So we travelled to Kenya, Rwanda and Ethiopia to bring you a series of Architecture Masters interviews. Given our changing identity, we thought these countries might offer some insights. How have architects working in Kenya and Rwanda had their identities influenced by their British, German and Belgian colonial histories? And what of Ethiopia, which largely escaped European colonialism but was fascinatingly influenced by an Orthodox Christian architecture? Much has been talked about immigration and identity in the UK of late, but London's not alone in having its identity shaped by immigration. So what then of the large-scale Indian and South Asian migration, mostly as a result of indentured labour, into the Horn of Africa during British colonial rule, in large part to build the early railways? And what of the identity of architects themselves? Kenya has just 900 registered architects, about the same number as in Wales. And Rwanda has an even smaller community of architects, with barely over 100. How does a relatively young profession define and identify itself with so few role models? There could scarcely be a more interesting trio of countries to learn about identity and architecture. These episodes have been made possible with help from the British Council's Arts Connexus programme, for which we are immeasurably grateful. Our first few episodes come from Kenya, a young country which only gained independence from Britain in 1963. Over the next few episodes, we'll be speaking to Kenyan architects, designers and educators, keen on finding out more about their work, but also exploring their perceptions of identity and architecture. Those early railways might have been built largely by Indian labourers, but what impact is Chinese construction and architecture having in Kenya now? Particularly with the opening of the recent standard gauge railway from Nairobi to Mombasa, built and largely funded by Chinese firms. And the Chinese influence continues to Ethiopia, where the recent Addis Ababa to Djibouti railway line, along with Addis's urban metro railway system, were both designed and constructed by the Chinese. We've then got two episodes from Addis Ababa, Africa's fourth largest city and its diplomatic capital as home to the African Union. This relatively young capital city might have been built without much input from architects, but we'll hear from some of the current crop of Ethiopian architects trying to change that. We'll also hear about Ethiopia's architectural identity through the World Heritage Sites of Lalibela and its stunning churches carved out of the ground from solid rock. Later on, we'll bring more episodes from Kigali in Rwanda. In the Western collective mind, Rwanda is perhaps most associated with the 1994 genocide, linked in part with the early colonial desires to measure, classify, and give identity to different ethnic groups. But Rwanda's emergence from such horror has been rapid and profound. Kigali now stands apart from many other African cities, perhaps having more in common with Singapore than Senegal. and like Nairobi, much of the city was built post-independence. The country too has undergone a profound series of identity changes, having in 2009 switched from French to English as the language of the education system, and at the same time joining the Commonwealth. Finally, after the London Festival of Architecture, we'll bring some of these ideas together for three programmes which explore identity and architecture, along with some of my personal observations from some of the amazing people I was privileged to interview. You can hear the following podcasts wherever you heard this. I hope you enjoy them. Music from this episode was from Peter Lagono and Raw Music International Kisumu Mixtape via the Free Music Archive and released under a Creative Commons license.